I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I come to Israel with a single message. You're not alone. You are not alone. As long as the United States stands, and we will stand forever, we'll not let you ever be alone. Most importantly, I know the recent terrorist assault on the people of this nation has left a deep, deep wound. More than 1,300 innocent Israelis killed, including at least 31 American citizens, by the terrorist group Hamas. Hundreds of young people at a music festival. The festival was for peace, gunned down as they ran for their lives.
The words of President Biden in Israel, meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel. We told you yesterday it was going to happen, and it did. And I had concerns about advance notice that our president was going to Israel. And you remember, of course, when he went to Ukraine, they did not make that public till after he was in and out. In this case, they put the word out in advance, and I guess they assumed that, yes, the Iron Dome would help protect the president in case Hamas started targeting anything or anywhere near where the president was or would be. So I'm glad to see that he got in and out safely, and he delivered his message. Now, there are going to be a lot of issues about the message he sent and left behind and what he's been ignoring at the same time. I'm trying to look at the positive side of what he did, but I cannot ignore the other side of what he is not doing. So we got a lot to cover as we move through the next 2 hours. Glad to have you with us. Here we are, October 18, 2023. This is the first hour of 2 hours of Larry Connors, USA, back to back. We are on the air with you Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. right here. And you don't want to miss any of it. And we're streaming when we're on the air at Larry Connors USA, Facebook and Twitter, News Talk STL, Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. And of course, if you miss any of the streams or in the audio feeds, you can always go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. Everything is posted as a podcast when we finish. Everything is available for you. So if you miss any part of it, you want to go back and rehash some of it, you want to share it with others, which I strongly encourage you to do so, it's available. LarryConnorsUSA.com. Now, I want to put this in context of the president meeting with the Israeli prime minister. Originally, there was an invite that surfaced as apparently a leak, apparently from Benjamin Netanyahu's office previously. And the Time of Israel published part of it. And it said this way. After Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's office leaks that the premier invited U.S. President Joe Biden to pay a solidarity visit to Israel following Hamas's massive assault, White House National Security Council spokesperson stated, "We have no new travel to announce." And then added, as to why Biden turned that trip down remains unknown, and pointing out that the president and Netanyahu have had a strained relationship since Biden took over office and Netanyahu resumed his office. The two did not ever agree on a White House meeting until September this year. At that time, Biden rejected the traditional White House invite for Netanyahu earlier in the year, objecting first to the prime minister's proposed judicial reforms and then to the presence of far-right parties in Netanyahu's coalition. But he did allow Israel's ceremonial president, Isaac Herzog, to visit the White House this last July. That obviously drew a lot of questions and criticism, but Biden apparently would not relent at that point. Now, because of the Hamas attacks, when it was originally thought that Netanyahu's invitation would quickly be accepted, and the White House official response was, "We have no new travel to announce," you get deeper down the road, and then after sending in Secretary of State Blinken, and then Secretary of Defense Austin, Then President Biden makes his decision, okay, I will go. And to that extent, despite all their differences and difficulties, Benjamin Netanyahu praised him for being there.
A level of cooperation that is truly unprecedented in the history of the great alliance between our two nations. We see that support in your steadfast commitment to provide Israel with the tools we need to defend ourselves. We see that support in the clear message you've sent our enemies not to test our resolve, and in the two American carrier battle groups that you sent to the region to back up those words with action. But above all, Mr. President, the world sees that support and the moral clarity that you have demonstrated from the moment Israel was attacked. You've rightly drawn a clear line between the forces of civilization and the forces of barbarism. You describe what Hamas did as sheer evil. It is exactly that.
So Netanyahu takes comfort in not only the president's presence, but his statements regarding Hamas. I also think the president, as I told you the other day when he was making those statements, was on point and should be praised for standing solidly with Israel, at least in verbiage, and then backing it up by sending not one carrier group, but a second carrier group headed to the region. And it's not just because of Hamas. There's a concern about Lebanon getting more involved through Hezbollah. But the thing that you often see, and you probably know it in your own family, you may have family members, maybe spouses, maybe close relatives, far distant relatives, but they've come to a split. They cannot even sit down at the table together. But then some tragedy happens and it brings everyone together, in tears sometimes, and maybe a chance to reconcile and make things better. As horrific as the Hamas attack was, it did put Biden in the position you're going to have to take a stance. And he did. And I applaud him for what he did say and what he's done and for his visit. And I applaud also his remarks that there is no excuse for what Hamas did.
There's no rationalizing it, no excusing it, period. The brutality we saw would have cut deep anywhere in the world, but it cuts deeper here in Israel. October 7th, which was a sacred Jewish holiday, became the deadliest day for the Jewish people since the Holocaust. It has brought to the surface painful memories and scars left by millennia of anti-Semitism and the genocide of the Jewish people. The world watched then, it knew, and the world did nothing. We will not stand by and do nothing again. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever.
Those are strong statements on behalf of our nation to Israel and the rest of the world. But where is Biden failing? He will not turn around and condemn members of his own party who have basically said Hamas was good in doing what they did and they had a right to. That's basically what they're saying. And the resolution introduced by Missouri Congresswoman Bush calling for a ceasefire for Israel to quit raining down rockets on the poor people in Gaza. Now, she's talking partly about the civilians, and we don't want them hurt, but they are being used as human shields by Hamas. She will not call Hamas out for that. And when she began her opening letter about her resolution, she said, I'm grieving for the Palestinians. First statement. And then the Israelis and Americans caught in this. Americans last. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think she or any of the rest of the squad in that so-called group are grieving whatsoever. I think in the back rooms they're kind of smiling, hey, look at what we're getting out of this. We're getting a victory for the PLO. But Biden needs to turn on them as hard as he is addressing the world as to where we stand. Does he have the courage to do that? All right, let's go back to finding a positive. And that comes in Biden's closing remarks in Israel.
Well, today, I say to all of Israel, the United States isn't going anywhere either. We're going to stand with you. We'll walk beside you in those dark days. And we'll walk beside you in the good days to come. And they will come.
as you say in Hebrew, which I'm not going to attempt to do because I'm such a terrible linguist, I'll say in English, the people of Israel live. The people of Israel live. Israel will be safe, secure, Jewish, and democratic state today, tomorrow, and forever. May God protect all those who work for peace. God save those who are still in harm's way.
Amen to that. Biden's plan to meet with other leaders, Jordan's King Abdullah, the Egyptian president, Sisi, Palestinian Authority president, Abbas, canceled because Hamas claims that Israel targeted a hospital with casualties, high casualty counts, and that story appears to be false that it was Israel responsible, but several accepted it as fact, including the BBC.
The Israeli military has been contacted for comment, and they have said that they are investigating. But, you know, it is hard to see what else this could be, really, given the size of the explosion, other than an Israeli airstrike or several airstrikes. Because, you know, when we've seen rockets being fired out of Gaza, we never see explosions of that scale. We might see half a dozen, maybe a few more people being killed in such rocket attacks. But we've never seen anything on the scale of the sort of explosion on the video I was watching earlier, which, as you say, is still to be verified.
You might add that point again, still to be verified. That was a BBC reporter acknowledging it looks like, yes, Israel did target this hospital. I've never seen anything this devastating. Two points to remember. One, often Hamas hides its own weapons behind and inside and under hospitals and civilian groups. And a second point to remember, that when you have a rocket hit close with immediacy, it's more potent. And that apparently is what Israel is claiming. But before we get to their explanation, the BBC reporter and others being sucked in around the world into this, and it's causing riots and attacks against USA and Israel. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, among the first to rush to blame Israel for that deadly explosion, he called it absolutely unacceptable, not legal to bomb a hospital. Does he know what happened? No, he's accepting simply the remarks of Hamas. UN chief on the scene said he saw the action as a directed airstrike by a hostile force, which would be Israel. Well, again, that's simply accepting the statements by Hamas. President Biden made a statement regarding the bombing.
I was deeply saddened and outraged by the explosion at the hospital in Gaza yesterday. And based on what I've seen, it appears as though it was done by the other team, not you. But there's a lot of people out there not sure.
And those are his remarks to Benjamin Netanyahu, and I'm glad he pointed that out. But when he said to blame the other team, he did not actually say the other side or actually identify as the enemy, a war enemy. Makes it sound like a sporting match. It's not a sporting match, the other team. His choice of words. But the facts from Israel. Now, again, I'm not saying that Israel has always been right in all their reports. But they've released some audio tapes, which supposedly are intercepts of Hamas communications. Two Hamas operators going back and forth talking about the explosion at the hospital, one acknowledging it was a rocket that fell short, that they were firing it from a cemetery behind the hospital, firing it to Israel, but it fell short. Now, when it falls short, it's highly potent, filled with a lot of propellant fuel in addition to the explosive. And that would certainly explain what happened in the hospital. And then if they had hidden explosives and so forth inside the hospital, it got multiplied. But again, that's the story from Israel. If I'm going to take one story or the other, I will take the Israeli story, because in listening to the communications as they were transcribing and so forth, it sounds pretty authentic. Now, again, I don't claim to be a special intelligence agent. I'm simply saying, looking as a layman. But what gets me more than where you come down on it is how fast world leaders rushed into it. As I mentioned, the Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau, among the first to rush to blame Israel. And then the rioting and so forth began. And one of our U.S. embassies at last report had been attacked, trying to firebomb. Hamas is claiming quickly that they had 500 killed at that hospital in Gaza. How did they get a count of 500 so quickly? There's no way, when you look at the destruction, there's no way you would know the account would be 500. If they said maybe 500 or more or something, then I might accept that they're trying to play it straight. But in this case, when they come up with a death count that fast, it sounds fabricated. And Hamas is known for lying all the time. And, of course, if they're going to attack and carry out the atrocities they did against unarmed civilians in Israel, including elderly men, women, children, and the atrocities they committed, they're not going to get any credibility stance from me. An Arizona congressman wants to point out that we are at a point now that, yes, we need to step forward and we need to be supporting Israel as we move forward. But he also wants you to keep something else in mind, and I think it's worth doing so. Arizona Congressman Eli Crane has served as a Navy SEAL, and he said, support Israel, but
we can do that and make the safety of our own citizens first and primary, and that's something that we hardly ever do. This is, to me, this is one more time where many members of Congress and our leaders look to something else, an atrocity going on in the world, and they completely drop the ball and forget about what's going on here. They forget about our wide open border, the 240 individuals that have been, since Biden took office, that have been on the terror watch list, that have been encountered at the southern border, and the 1.5 million gotaways. We don't know who they are. We don't know where they're going. We don't know what they're up to. And if you don't think there's any lone wolves in there or terrorist cells that have come in through that wide open border, you're a fool.
You are a fool if you don't believe that. His point being, yes, we need to support Israel, but this president's first duty, his sworn oath, is to protect you, this nation, from all enemies, foreign and domestic. He has not done that. Neither is Department of Homeland Security Secretary, who took the same oath. In the meantime, we're seeing a request already from the White House for 100, let me look at the number again, it keeps changing. Anyway, they're asking, obviously, for a lot of money for Israel and also Ukraine. I want to see the breakout on the money that's going to Ukraine again. I cannot believe we continue to just throw money in there, and we're not doing what we need to do to shore up our border. Exactly the point Arizona Congressman Crane was making. In the next hour, a new push to keep $6 billion from going to Iran, plus former campus radicals now teaching your children. You aware of that? Yeah, they're right there in the classroom. In fact, they're leading your students, directing them down the road to hate and possible domestic terrorism. Before this hour is over, Louisiana Senator Kennedy discussing how other world leaders see Biden. You don't want to miss that. And, of course, coming up, what about the intel fail in Israel? Who's to blame? Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Hundreds of homeowners and businesses had or will have water main breaks. Wellington Environmental has a warning. You can clean up the water, but if you're not checking areas where the water leaked in the walls where you can't see it, you could end up exposing your family, your employees, your clients to hazardous mold. Wellington Environmental reminds you, if that mold is not detected, properly treated, removed, that is a risk, a liability you do not want. Wellington clients, including hospitals and schools, trust Wellington to make their environments safe. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930, AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau, 314-644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well. with Wellington.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you, why pay more than four? In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
And we're down, we go, go.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. Of course, when that terrorist activity was carried out inside Israel by Hamas, immediately the question was, how did they do that? How did they go undetected, even though apparently they were putting up a training facility within view, basically, of Israeli soldiers, if they were watching for it? And then they not only cut through the gate, bulldozed their way through, ran various vehicles in, and began carrying out their atrocities. Where was the failure? I have with me now Colonel John Mills, retired. He's a national security professional, serves in five areas, Cold War, Peace Dividend, War on Terror, War, World in Chaos, and now also Great Power Shutdown or Showdown in the Fight to Save Our Republic, also Director of Cyber Security Policy. Colonel Mills, a lot of background there. So what do you see, first of all, as to where was the failure?
Yeah, thank you, Larry. An honor to be on your show. Yeah, we have two failures here. Let's talk to the American intelligence failure here, and I think it was a failure. We need to know immediately, and the House needs to demand immediately, House Permanent Select Committee, the Senate Select Intel Committee, needs to demand immediately, what was the intelligence priority stack on October 5th? That's literally how they all the resources are apportioned according to that stack. And there's a cut line above and below the cut line. Now, we may actually, below the cut line, we may actually have collected information and raw intelligence.
You're talking about the U.S. now, the U.S., not Israel.
Just talking about Israel. Or excuse me.
The U.S.
Talking about the U.S. So even below the cut line, we may have collected, but no resources were apportioned to analyze it and process it. We need to know immediately with all things Israel, Hamas, and Iran above or below the cut line. If they were below the cut line, why? If they were above the cut line and nothing happened, why? So I think there really was. We have to know immediately what went wrong here. Did the Biden team give the code red to put Israel, Hamas, Iran below the cut line? We got Rob Malley, Biden's chief Iran person, and his two hench persons are, you know, now being investigated as Iranian agents. So they penetrated, the Iranians penetrated the Biden team. No surprise. And you got to look at this. Hamas is a proxy of Iran. Iran is a proxy of China. All roads lead to Emperor Xi. Did Emperor Xi give the code red to Iran? Who gave the code red to Hamas? Now let's look at the Israeli side. Mossad is incredible. They are incredible when they focus on a topic. They don't have broad bandwidth like we do. So So if they're not looking at the right topic at the right time, it could be bad. Now,
well, may I interrupt briefly? There were apparently communications received and acknowledged both within our CIA, our government, and Israeli government. There was something going on, but it either got overlooked or, as you said, thrown below the cut line. No one said, well, it's same old, same old.
Yeah, I'm a little suspicious of those sound bites that have been released on background for the administration. That's code word for Jake Sullivan planting false talking points to his buddies in legacy media. So that's the hipsy and the sissy should demand that transmission immediately to know what was communicated to who. Because I don't buy Jake Sullivan feeding his lies to the media.
Now, one thing you point out in a piece you wrote, you're talking about the raw intelligence collected, and I'm reading from your piece that you did, sir, that for the audience, that you're talking about raw intelligence is collected, but no resources spent to analyze and turn raw intelligence into process intelligence disseminated and shared. This may literally mean high-speed printers churning out raw intel printouts falling on the floor and therefore being overlooked.
Yeah, and I've literally been in that situation. It didn't make the cut. We're drowning in input, and you've got to focus on the most highest priority thing. So it could be, you know, now with modern AI and the modern mass surveillance system that's been weaponized against the American people, you have an ability to immediately pivot and look back for things you weren't looking for. So that's one thing. But let's finish with Mossad. Right. So you got to realize the Mossad is brilliant, but they don't have the vast bandwidth. Now, the second thing is also we got to acknowledge reality. The battle-hardened, experienced Israeli defense and intelligence personnel, they're gone. They're retired. You know, what you're dealing with now is a force structure that just is not, I mean, and not a criticism. It's just they've had a couple of decades of relative peace. Relative peace. There's been issues,
right.
But relative peace. And what happened here, this has Iranian and Chinese fingerprints all over it. Never before has such a volume of ordnance been fired so fast. And then, this is the critical difference, followed with a coordinated, complex ground assault through at least 15 assault points through the Israeli wall into the different facilities, including, for example, the Israeli Sector Command Course at Re'aim, which is the same place the music festival was going on. They went after the command, assaulted the command post. That's never happened before. And so they weren't expecting artillery barrage, then massive ground assault.
Now, let's break that down, because you mentioned that there was video by one of the gunmen who was later killed that was showing them actually getting in, using a color-coded map of the very complex you're talking about, and went into the room filled with computers. In other words, they also found an unlocked building, by the way, a rather unlocked door to this fortified building. So there you have a security breach already. But where do they get such a intel on what's and where targets were that they should take out immediately? Who fed that to them?
Iran and China.
Secretary Blinken says Iran's not involved.
A total lie.
Yeah.
A total lie. And again, that element above or below the cut line. And whenever Eddie Haskell Blinken opens his mouth, he's lying. Okay. So, you know, we can't treat the same guy who ran the 51 intel officer effort out of the UPenn Biden nonprofit, the IRS 501c3. That nobody can find the IRS form 994. He ran the greatest election interference operation in history, and we're supposed to believe this guy. I'm sorry, they've lost all credibility.
Oh, I agree with you. So, I agree. I'm glad you pointed out, of course, what you say the House and Senate Intel Committee should demand to know immediately. What did that priority stack look like? Did the Obama-Biden team give code red to put all things Israel and Hamas below the intel collection cut line? And then the Israeli military is saying, once the war is over, we'll investigate how Hamas managed to breach defenses so easily. I question immediately, and you, sir, serving as you have for our country, thank you. They were relying on surveillance cameras, things of this nature. I didn't hear that they actually had numerous barracks stationed along the line of security, and there were apparently no, quote, sentry on duty, the one soldier who could see something, as opposed to relying on an intel surveillance complex that could be brought down with one stroke of a key.
Yeah, well, this was complex. They conducted jamming. They clearly, we got to realize the Israelis have really reduced their presence on that border. I mean, again, they've been at relative peace for 20 years. So, you know, after a certain period, people start asking budget questions. Do you really need that manned force? Can an unmanned robot, go along the border? You know, can't we do that? And it'll, you know, cut your budget 80%. And now it blows my mind, the complex breaching, but you know, it looked like not only did they knock down the fences using earth moving equipment, that's right, brute force, but you can do it pretty fast, but it also looks like you had earth moving equipment lifting up pre-cut sections of the very, very heavy fence. Now I'm going, holy smokes, how did they miss that? Again, I would say the Israelis really, really reduced their vigilance and their presence along that tunnel.
Should that not be a lesson to us and what we're doing on our southern border?
Absolutely. Job one right now is we have an immediate, clear, and present danger inside of America with all the Chinese special operators that are already in place. And I just came back from Panama with Michael Yan and Ann Vandersteel. They are leveraging, using Panama, passing through. Also, some people are staying behind in Panama. That's not a good situation either because they can affect the canal. But we have a clear and present danger. They are running the fentanyl production in northern Mexico, overseeing the cartels, distributing it into America. We also have Chinese paramilitary special operators. All this silliness of legal cannabis. I mean, I totally against cannabis. This is not your Fast Times at Ridgemont High talk from the 80s. This is deadly. This is a poison.
With fentanyl and other items. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, you got the fentanyl, 10,000 dead a month already.
Right.
You got the cannabis that, you know, California's an example. People are not following the legal guidelines because they go broke trying to adhere to the administrative and regulatory oversight of the California state government. So everybody's saying, well, forget this. I'm just going to do it illegal. And guess what? All the illegal Chinese nationals, many of them special operators, are doing the cannabis. They're doing fentanyl. This is a force that is armed and can execute actions immediately upon when China makes their westward move toward and past Taiwan.
Since you brought that up, I raised the question some time ago because we've seen so many videos capturing Chinese military age men coming across often at night, but anyway, seeing video of them. If China is trying to build a fifth column inside the states to activate against us at some point.
That's absolutely what it is. And all the Hamas terrorists, this is a coordinated red, green, axis, right, operation. So all the Hamas terrorists, all these crazies, yes. Now we've caught, you know, FEMA's building these camps. We identified a big one near Houston.
Right.
You know, this is FEMA and DHS largesse out of control, but also what are these being built for? And we need governors and constitutional sheriffs to start rounding up these folks. And I did say rounding up the Chinese paramilitary, the Hamas, because the federal government is failing to do their job and governors and constitutional sheriffs who should see these properties being built by FEMA and DHS and in turn these advanced force gunslingers, right, until we figure out who they are.
All right. Colonel John Mills, always, we appreciate your time. We'll do it again, sir.
Got it, Larry. Thank you so much.
You bet. Colonel John Mills. Coming up, what the world thinks of Biden.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I have only one recommendation for you when it comes to jewelry. Vincent's Jewelers. I've had Vincent's custom make some pieces for me. I bought quality pieces right out of the case. Vincent's locally owned, supporting local charities for more than 42 years. Check their website daily for new items or specials. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Give Vincent's a chance for your business. Vincent's, my only jeweler. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
Because she's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
I really, really enjoy a great cigar and a premium whiskey. And if you do, you should join me at Lit Cigar Lounge in the district off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is open to everyone, but I decided to become a member. You can too. Get special gifts, special events. Ladies, don't be intimidated. Bring a group of girlfriends. You'll also enjoy Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit also has a cigar and tobacco shop on Main Street in Old St. Charles. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, 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 bass.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I think we have to be honest with ourselves. America has a president who is not a defense hawk. America has a president whose administration is, frankly, more interested in discussing whether a man can breastfeed than it is in talking about national security. Put yourself in the shoes of our enemies, Russia and Iran and China. Our enemies have included that America has a president who's a bit of a weenie on national defense, and Xi and Putin and the Ayatollah think they can roll over him like thunder on a summer night.
In the words that only could be spoken in such a way as Louisiana Senator Kennedy, President Biden is being rolled over like thunder on a summer night. That's the way they were seeing him when we look at our enemies. I think Senator Kennedy is correct about these remarks, because it is clear that this president has been basically kowtowing to every demand from anyone else, including inside his own party. I have praised him, if you heard me earlier, about going to Israel and meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu. I'm glad he did do it. He made some very strong statements. He also began to wander off and kind of get lost in numerous stories again, but I don't want to detract from what he did accomplish. But I cannot ignore the fact that he still will not turn to his own party and call out the radicals inside his party. We keep hearing all the time from the left, the MAGA extremist. Make America great again? That is not an extreme want and desire and demand. You should want to make America great again. President Biden should want to make America great again. Well, they do, but they want to rephrase it because it sounds too much like MAGA Trump. MAGA might have been brought to the front by Donald Trump, make America great again. But it has been there previously with Reagan. It's been there with almost every president. They want to take care of this country. And this one says he does, but I'm not seeing a lot of action. All right, let's deal again with his visit to Israel. There was a piece written by a CNN opinion columnist. I want to share this because it has some very salient points we need to drive down into. Shmuel Rosner, he's a senior fellow at the Jewish People Policy Institute, an analyst at Israel's public television broadcasting operation. These are his views. And he said, any analysis of President Biden's visit to Israel Wednesday must start with two propositions. American support is essential for Israel as it goes to war. American support is a means to an end, victory. It is not a substitute for victory. And he goes on to point out some of the things that come back on this. He said, at war, Israel needs American support for four main reasons, for diplomatic cover against the many forces it could arm to basically limit Israel's ability to fight, to denounce and isolate it even when they actively assist enemies, for security from the U.S. and any form of ammunition, material help, a boost of deterrence, obviously, which we are doing with sending carrier groups in, and not just dealing with on a munitions effort, but dealing with psychological support for a country surrounded by enemies. Again, this is a Jewish writer for this opinion piece for the CNN report. He said, from the get-go, Biden rose to the occasion by providing Israel with these four essential ingredients for victory, and he made forceful speeches, which, again, I have applauded him for, and vowing support. He said that's part of your psychology, in addition to sending carrier groups. Then he adds, the writer of this opinion piece, in doing so, Biden's taking on considerable risk. He's committed himself and the U.S. to a certain cause, and now he has skin in the game. He compared Hamas to ISIS, more than hinting at how the battle must end. That would be eliminate Hamas entirely. And he warned Hezbollah not to force Israel to open a second front on the Lebanese border. The writer continues, in doing so, he handed Iran an opportunity. Tehran could defy his warnings, present him with a dilemma. Would he deepen the U.S. involvement in this crisis even further, for example, by ordering a strike by American forces on Hezbollah? Or maybe in such a case, he preferred to climb down the ladder of involvement. He said that was President Barack Obama's decision during the Syrian civil war when he drew that red line, which the Syrians defied without punishment. I'm glad he brought that up. And then he adds, in an election season, which we certainly are, what this means is that Biden took a huge gamble. Iran could make him seem like a second George W. Bush or a second Obama. And let me break it down. He adds a couple words here. A second George W. Bush, too much war, or a second Obama, too little steadfastness. So in exchange for his staunch support and in recognition of his commitment, Israel will be asked to compromise on certain things the administration deems important. He said that's the risk Israel itself is taking by inviting the American support. And then he adds this. Again, this is an opinion piece written by a Jewish opinion columnist who also does Jewish TV. He said, there's also the question of the day after Israel says the goal is toppling Hamas. Biden is in no doubt asking what comes later. Well, I don't know if Biden is asking, but should be asking. You always want to know the next step. And he adds then that Biden himself initially supported the U.S. 2003 war in Iraq, only to end up as the president who ordered the U.S. pull out of Afghanistan. Let me take a moment to state again, Trump also was going to pull troops out of Afghanistan. And he gave a dateline, which I didn't like, but he said certain conditions must be met by the Taliban before we do it on that date. And if they're not doing it, then we're not going to pull out as much as he wanted them out. Well, of course, when he was no longer president and they saw Biden, they go, what the hell, we can do what we want. And they did. And then we had that disastrous pullout, which left 13 Americans dead in the process. He adds that Biden is familiar with the cost involved, chaos, bloodshed. As a friend, also as a leader, much invested in Israel's objectives for the war, he surely wants to see a convincing answer to the question of the day, and that is what comes next. And that is where we all have to find out what is going to come next, because That is where Israel is facing its own dilemma. To retain the much-needed American support, he writes, it must accommodate, Israel must accommodate U.S. requests and even demands, but Israel also must win a war that was defined by some of Israel's leaders as existential and is seen by most Israeli citizens as critical to its security. It's a constant balancing act. I think the author, again, of this piece for CNN, and again, he's a Jewish writer and also broadcaster, I think he's nailed several points as to what's at stake, not only for Biden, but our nation and Israel. You know, when I saw the footage of Bibi Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, greeting President Biden after he got off Air Force One, Bibi almost reached out and started hugging. And Biden looked almost shocked, like, you're touching me, you're grabbing me. I mean, I'm telling you, in the beginning, at that very moment, the Israeli Prime Minister had Biden in a bear hug, and Biden's eyes are kind of popping open a little bit, and then he kind of accepted what was happening. I am going to say something here that may anger some. So be it. Bibi Netanyahu and Biden have not had a good relationship, as we pointed out earlier. So when he sees Biden, was that an automatic emotional response to reach out and hug him for coming to our aid and, you know, breaking bread with us and coming together to fight an enemy? Or was it a little bit of drama, a little play acting for the cameras? And then, if you look at it from that way, is that a plus or minus for Netanyahu? I mean, if it was intended to get that photo of him embracing, was it to show that we have to have your support, we thank you for it, or we're glad we're now together? Or are some Israelis going to say, why are you making it look like he's our savior? I don't know how that's going to play out inside Israel as they begin to go through it. They got a lot more things to be worried about. We can sit at this distance and raise these kinds of questions. But I will have to say, I thought Biden was caught off guard, and I truly think he was. We have told you, of course, about the hospital issue that Hamas was blaming the devastation of a hospital in Gaza on Israeli rocket hitting it. And Israel says, we did not do that. We didn't fire anything, certainly not at the hospital, knowing it was a hospital. And then Israel claims it intercepted communications between Hamas terrorists, recognizing that they had fired from a cemetery near the hospital, and their rocket fell short. So that means it would have been fully loaded still with propellant fuel, in addition to the demolition explosive, and right into the hospital. That would have been an immediate, much more deadly and explosive reaction than that would have been 20 miles away. And then, of course, if Hamas was hiding some of its own munitions and rockets inside the hospital or under it, that would have added to the casualty rate. Well, angry mobs throughout the Middle East and North Africa targeted Israeli, American, French, and other Western embassies last night after the footage went out about the bombing of the hospital and Hamas claiming that, you know, it was hit by Israel. Islamic groups, Iran, which is the world's premier state-sponsored terrorism, all blaming Israel, even after Israel came out with a statement that, no, it was clearly a mistake on Hamas's part. You got major cities protest, Lebanon, Turkey, Iraq, Tunisia, Jordan. And if Israel is correct, and I'm tending to think they are, but that's my judgment, whatever the truth is, between the shouting and the firebombings and the riots, I don't know if you ever get anything more than what we've heard already. And some have already made up their mind regardless. As I have, I'll acknowledge. In meeting with President Biden, the Israeli President Netanyahu did speak about the Hamas atrocities. When you hear his remarks coming up, I want you to listen and think of your family in that situation coming up.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone, or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Hamas murdered children in front of their parents, and parents in front of their children. They burnt people alive. They raped and murdered women. They beheaded soldiers. They search for the secret hiding places where parents hid their children. And just imagine, Mr. President, the fear and the panic of those little children in their last moments as the monsters discovered, found out their hiding places.
Can you imagine your children being in such a situation? You've done everything to protect them the best you can. And in this case, not just criminals or thugs, but terrorists who are bound determined to kill just simply because of a difference in religion, a dispute over a piece of land, or because they're just bloodthirsty. And Hamas has claimed that, or at least some saying why Hamas would carry out such atrocities, they wanted the entire Muslim world to see what they were doing, and it might cause more uprisings, see how bold they were and how they were going to just carry out all these atrocities, and they'd be so severe they could not be ignored. Well, they were, and they're not being ignored. President Biden did address, while he was in Israel with Netanyahu, efforts to get some of the hostages out of the hands of Hamas. He could not go into details, obviously. They hold hostages that include Americans, maybe with dual passports, and Israelis, and citizens possibly from other nations, because we know when they attack, they killed citizens of 15 different nations, including the U.S. We have heard previously and stated and reported to you that U.S. military special forces have been put in place to help with retrieving hostages. It has not been clear if they are going to be among those going into Gaza or if they're retrieving them still in southern Israel that might be held hostage. I tend to think that if there were some being held hostage in southern Israel, that the next decision will be, do we put them in to the Gaza Strip? Where do Americans stand on boots on the ground in this case? In the meantime, the UK is sending a special forces unit in to help find the hostages as well. They are ready to rescue and assist them, and they believe that Hamas is holding the hostages scattered all over the territory of Gaza. And whatever they can do to get the citizens back, they may end up having to bargain with Hamas or not. And, of course, you still want to take down Hamas. How are you going to do it when they're using hostages as shields? The kinds of decisions that you hope you never have to make. Coming up in our next hour, we have college radicals that would push and encourage Hamas terrorists teaching your kids at school. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.